Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Well, this afternoon, respected listeners, we will be discussing a problem that's become very, very common in our communities and I think just all over. Any home you go to, you certainly will hear somebody complaining about this particular problem. Well, it's knee pain. And as we all know, many people experience knee pain at some point in their life. It can be due to sudden injury. It can be due to some sports injuries. Many of us overuse our limbs, our joints. So it can be an overused injury or by an underlying condition such as arthritis. And again, that also is something that is so common. What the reason for that is, I don't know. Perhaps my guest would be able to answer that. Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about, knee pain. And joining me in the studio is our physiotherapist from the Flamingo Health Center here in Indonesia, Sister Sadia Ravid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallahu khair for joining us this afternoon, Sister Sadia.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me, Sister Zainat.
Okay, and like I said, we're going to be talking about knee pain, and I'm sure you have many patients out there coming to you with this particular problem.
Yes, a lot. Mostly we get the osteoarthritis, especially with the aging patients. But like you said, there is many other problems. Sometimes people think that any knee pain as you get elderly is just osteoarthritis, but there's many other things. They could be ligament injuries. They could be meniscus tears. They could be, for our young patients, sports injuries. So it goes quite fastly with regard to knee pain.
Mm-hmm. So basically, it affects all, young and old alike.
Yeah.
And I think men and women too.
Mm, definitely, both sides, men and women.
Okay, for the benefit of our listeners, and just before we do this, I'd like to remind our listeners that our lines are open. This is, I know, a very common problem. So if you do have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. You can also SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-8492-786. That's 082-8492-786. Like I said, Sister Sadia, just for the benefit of myself first, of course, and everybody around listening to this program today, explain to us a little the anatomy of the knee. What does a knee really look like? And perhaps also, what does a knee do for us?
Okay, so the knee is actually made up of three bones. So you have the top of your thigh bone, which we call your femur, and the bottom, there's actually two bones. There's the tibia and then the fibula.
So that's basically the thigh, that's the bone from the thigh, yes, and the bone from the bottom.
The two bones from the lower leg. Yes. Many people don't even know that we have two bones in our lower leg.
Tibia. I think that is something that we learned many years in school.
Yes.
So.
Exactly. Okay, so in between, and then we have obviously the kneecap, which also contributes to the whole anatomy of the knee. So in between the femur and the tibia and the fibula, you have certain types of cartilage that's in the knee. Firstly, you have the meniscus, which are two things situated on the tibia, as well as lots of cartilage and lots of fluid. The whole knee is bathed actually in fluid, and that fluid is just so that the knee can move around nicely, the gliding of the knee, the twisting movements, the bending movements, even the cartilage. And that's commonly what gets affected in osteoarthritis, is that you get some sort of degeneration of the cartilage in between. Then besides, in the middle, you have a lot of ligaments on the side. We have the, the medial and the lateral collateral ligaments, which are just two ligaments that support the knee on either side. And in the knee itself, you have another two ligaments. So it's actually quite a bit of things going on in there. You have the anterior, and we call the posterior cruciate ligaments. And those are there so that the knee doesn't glide either forward or backward, so that the knee can be quite a stable structure. Because you can imagine any walking that you do, immediately that force gets exerted or gets, if I can say, radiated onto the knee. That's why, you know, running, there's a lot of common injuries that happen in running. In our walking, our overuse injuries, you know, when we bend too much, then all of these factors get, you know, are taken into consideration and it affects the anatomy of the knee. So there's quite a bit of things going on in the knee itself.
Mm-hmm. And the knee is also actually a very busy part of the leg, maybe, or even for that matter, your body.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you don't use it, then you realize how much you actually need your knees.
Exactly. Many people take that for granted.
Okay. Now, like we know, so many of us really suffer so much with knee pain these days. But, you know, how does it really impact, you know, knee pain, how does it impact on your life, your daily life kind of thing, and your day-to-day business as you go about doing things.
Your day-to-day activities. So knee pain is, you know, many people will say, especially those with things like osteoarthritis, it affects everything that you do. So some people, they wake up in the morning with the pain. The pain can go out throughout the day. It can affect them when they, you know, climbing stairs. It can affect them when they even going into sajda. They can't go into sajda. You know, it can affect so many things that they're doing. Walking, standing for long periods of time, running. It affects basically every aspect of our life. And you can imagine when somebody is in pain, then automatically, emotionally as well, you know, you just can't cope. Anything life throws at you, you're already in a bad state of mind, if I can say. You just can't cope with it.
Yes, I think so. And, you know, as women, you are in so much of pain, and then, you know, you have so many other things to do.
Yes.
And you cannot do it because of the pain that you are going through, you know, and it does really affect you very, very badly.
That's when the popping
starts. Yes. And yes, that is something that we so commonly do, you know, instead of having it seem to, when it just begins, what we end up doing is we end up popping tablets, painkillers, and we become so dependent on these painkillers that we can't do without them.
Yes, definitely. I can, you know, give you an example. One of my patients, we actually took her off painkillers after maybe 12 years, and she reported to me that, you know, she was actually having withdrawal symptoms, like shaking and, you know, like feeling of confusion and dizziness, because her body was so used to having those, you know, those anti-inflammatories or that Panado or the diclofenac, that, you know, she was having withdrawal symptoms from taking our basic painkillers that we, you know, all take at some point or the other.
Yeah, but pain really does cause you to do many things that you wouldn't normally do, like, you know, taking those painkillers. And even though you know how bad it is sometimes for you, you know, you end up weighing the pros and the cons, and you think, no, man, I can't handle this pain. Let me just take that painkiller and get it over with and hope for the best. And I need to get all this done. So let me take the painkiller and can get all my work done kind of thing. Anyway, so we were talking about the different kinds of injuries, you know, that you do get in the knee. Can you explain those to us, please, the different kinds of injuries?
Okay, so you get basically two types of injuries. You have your acute injuries and you have your chronic injuries. The acute injuries will be sort of a direct blow to the knee, or if you have a twisting or bending injury, if you fall onto the knee, that sort of a thing. And actually after that, the pain, bruising and swelling, it's quite severe, and it can happen like within minutes of the injury, actually. And other types of acute strains are, you know, injuries to the ligaments, the tendons that support the kneecap, like we were talking about, meniscus tears, and, you know, the medial collateral, lateral collateral ligament injuries, that sort of thing. That's when it goes to acute. A lot of it is, you know, sudden injury, falls, sports injuries are very common acute injuries. Then we go to the chronic injuries. So the chronic injuries, you know, things like arthritis, and, you know, within arthritis itself, there's many different kinds. You can get the rheumatoid arthritis, the osteoarthritis, the post-traumatic arthritis, you know, infectious, gouty arthritis. There's many different kinds. But the most common type of it is actually the osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And osteoarthritis is actually like a chronic degenerative disorder of the knee. So what that means is there's sort of a progressive wear and tear of the cartilage that we were talking about in between the knee joint. It's very commonly found in both men and women, but actually, you know, us being the greatest species, it's more prevalent in women. You know, the World Health Organization does a lot of sort of, if I can say, surveys and things to see how much osteoarthritis affects us. And 45% of women over the age of 65 have that osteoarthritis, and X-ray evidence shows that 70% of women over the age of 65 have some sort of changes that happens in the bone.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure sometimes, you know, women don't even realize, or not only women, but many of us don't even realize that we have it until maybe an X-ray.
Yes.
Yeah, a little problem that you're experiencing, and you go for an X-ray and you realize
this is a problem.
You know, that you actually have osteoarthritis.
Yes, no, definitely. A lot of my patients, what I always tell them, that it starts off with a little bit of pain. And that little bit of pain, over time, it slowly, slowly increases. And we basically think that, you know, it's age-related problems. It's you know, as we get older, we have to expect something. And that I completely disagree with, because a sort of degeneration changes in your whole body is normal. But when it presents with pain, then that is not a normal process. I mean, we have our ladies who are 80 and 90, and those of them that looked after themselves, they don't have pain at that point in life. So us, or people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, they shouldn't actually be having pain.
But unfortunately, you know, it seems like, you know, people are getting into this even younger. They're experiencing so much of pain at an even younger age. If we compare ourselves to our mothers, either they didn't complain, or else, you know, only in their later stage in life, in old age, basically, did they start with all the pains and aches and things like that came up.
That's so true. Actually, you know, a lot of my patients that I'm even seeing nowadays are, you know, 50 and younger. So my research topic for my master's is, you know, neck and shoulder pain in children between the ages of 14 and 16 because of the use of technology. So that's totally going off the topic. But, you know, for example, you can imagine kids are starting to have pain at the age of 15. So I always tell them, where to from there? If you're having pain at 15 and 16, what's going to happen by the time you're 40 and 50? Then what?
Well, it's amazing that these things happen at a younger age nowadays. And how do you deal with it? You know, do you start treating them from that very young age?
Yeah, most of the time what we do with our younger kids is more, you know, lifestyle education. So if they're sitting for maybe 6-7 hours with an iPad or in front of the TV or playing PlayStation, then that's when it's the problem. That's actually the root cause of the problem. The pain and whatever is just manifesting in other ways. But in those days, we didn't used to do that. We weren't, you know, sitting in front of PlayStation for 5 hours a day and things like that. That's why we didn't experience those kind of problems.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, obesity is also another problem that many of our children are experiencing. Our young
yes.
children are experiencing. And that too, all because of technology, where they would just sit and watch either TV or play games or whatever the cause may be, you know, whatever the reason may be. Well, anyway, that's besides the topic. But it's happening, and, you know, it's just that everything is coming, you know, your age. It's not anymore, you don't wait for old age for all these things to come. It's coming at a very much more younger age. Okay, now, some of the risk factors of knee osteoarthritis.
Okay, so risk factors, they include things like, you know, your age, obviously, as you were speaking about, family history as well. Then, like you were saying, with kids as well, with older people, you know, obesity, because it's putting that extra weight on the joint, which it can't actually handle. Then there's previous injuries, infections, sports injuries, and then there's the wear and tear, which I find is quite common in my patients. Is, you know, the wear and tear because of physical work. So previously, maybe 10, 20 years ago, they used to do a repetitive knee bending, maybe picking up heavy boxes, you know, a lot of knee bending activities in their work. And that's also one of the very high risk factors of osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of things that, you know, sometimes we don't take note of, and then later it's like, you know, little injuries perhaps that you may have picked up very many years ago, and we tend to forget about it, or we tend to just treat it ourselves, and we, you know, if the pain disappears, that's it, we forget about it, and as we grow older, or, you know, as the years go by, you tend to get those pains coming back again, and you wonder, where in the world did this come from? Okay, so with regards osteoarthritis, how do I know if I have osteoarthritis?
Okay, so if you say clinically, actually, it's characterized by things like joint pain, the tenderness, the limitation in movement, things that we call crepitus, which means that sound when you're bending your knee, you know, stiffness in the knee joint, we have swelling as well, and sometimes there's a deformity, so your knee actually bends inwards, and weakness, you feel like unstable, or weakness, like you can't, you know, you can't stand up properly. And then we have things that many people will relate to, these kind of things, like pain when standing, pain when walking for a long period of time, if you walk on unstable surfaces, and definitely, you know, stair climbing, that a lot of people find problematic when they have osteoarthritis.
With regards to stair climbing, I mean, there's so many places, and stair climbing is sometimes encouraged, you know. They encourage you to rather climb stairs than take the lift. It's a form of exercise. Mm. But is there a certain way that you need to climb stairs so that you don't injure yourself in any way?
Well, it depends on, you know, how bad the osteoarthritis is. Sometimes when you're in the lower grades, which we'll talk about later, I'm sure, is stair climbing is, if I can say, encouraged. Because like you said, it's physical activity as much as you can. It's something good for you. But as we go to the later stages, that's when pain is quite severe, then we kind of discourage stair climbing. We say it's not something good, because as you're bending your knees, you're actually decreasing the space in between the knee, and that's causing further, you know, damage of the knee. So that we wouldn't actually even encourage.
What about people that have homes?
That's where the problem comes,
you know,
in.
They live in homes or in flats where there's no lifts, and they have to actually, but hopefully most of the places do have lifts these days. But I mean, if you're living in a block of flats where you have to climb stairs every day to go to your floor, oh gee, so that's a problem.
That's when the problem comes.
That's when you need to quickly think of changing home. Okay. Yeah. Okay, now walking also is one of the things that you mentioned, that could, long periods of perhaps walking. Now, many of us do the walking, you know, as an exercise, physical exercise, we walk. Mm. And you can actually injure your knees when walking, but how does this now happen?
Okay, so what we say is, you know, in your knee itself, actually in any part of your body, but let's focus on the knee. In the knee itself, we have something called strength and we have something called stamina. So your knee might have the strength to basically walk for, you know, maybe a little while, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But how much stamina does it have? How strong are those muscles? How strong is that bone to actually carry you on for a while? So if you're walking, you know, or standing continuously for half an hour, 1 hour, it might be that because of the osteoarthritis, the muscles are not strong enough for you to be able to walk for long periods of time. That's why maybe after, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes, maybe after half an hour, you feel tired or you feel like the pain starts, and that's when it becomes severe. So what we usually use as a goal to say, okay, maybe you can stand for 20 minutes without pain. So let us strengthen that knee, let us, you know, do some sort of therapy to change that so that you can, you know, increase the period of time, because, you know, everybody needs to, it's life, we need to be able to stand, to walk for long periods of time, to do all of these basic things in our daily life. So that's how we, you know, manage it.
Now, I also know that it is important, like you said, to strengthen your upper, your thigh muscles, and obviously the bottom ones, the muscles that you get at the bottom. I'm not familiar with all those. And to walk, I think you also, you know, sometimes we cause these injuries by not doing those warm-up exercises or something before you start your walk or your run or whatever for that case, though in that case, even cycling for that matter. Yeah. I think there is something that you need to do first, warm-up or whatever it is called. Now, how does that work? What kind of warm-ups do you need to do?
So, you see, we say basically that the muscles, when you start an exercise program, whatever it may be, going to the gym, running, jogging, you know, cycling, the muscles are, if I can use the word, cold. So we need to warm them up before we start doing an exercise program. So that could be basic things like, you know, a little bit of a jog on the spot, some sort of slight stretching exercises. But most commonly the injuries that occur if you go straight into, you know, a full-blown exercise program, that's when we have, you know, our hamstring strains, that's when we have our patella injuries, our quadriceps problems, that's when we have all of these injuries because we don't adequately warm up before we just embark straight into an exercise program.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a short break. A reminder to our listeners that we're talking about knee pain, very, very common. So if you do have any questions or concerns, please do feel free to contact us. The number to dial is 011-854-1548. We also have an SMS or a WhatsApp number, 082-8492-786. That's 082-8492-786. We're going to take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our program. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zenit. My guest today is Sister Sadia Rawat, who is a physiotherapist, and she's from the Flamingo Health Center here in Indonesia. We're talking about a very common problem that's called knee pain, and I'm sure everybody sitting there must be thinking, yeah, I do have knee pains. I wonder what to do with it. Anyway, our lines are open. If you have any questions or concerns, the number to dial 011-854-1548. We also have an SMS or WhatsApp number, which is 082-8492-786. We have an SMS that's come in, so let's take that one first, Sister Sadia. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it says, Assalamu alaikum. My son is 24, I guess it's 24 years old, and has problems with his knee, and the x-ray shows calcium deposits. What can be done to relieve him? Jazakallah.
Okay, so her son is 24, so that means that he's still young. So usually when we look at, you know, osteoarthritis, there's a few clinical criteria that we look at. Now, his age is actually a very young age, so it's something that we think that it wouldn't be osteoarthritis. That usually happens after the age of at least the 40s or the 50s. But he has something like calcium deposits in the knee. That actually happens in the form of osteoarthritis as well. So it could be things like, you know, first we need to, before we actually treat anything, we must obtain a proper diagnosis. So it could be things like juvenile arthritis, you know, that happens. It's not very common, but it happens in the younger ages, from the teenage years to the early 20s. Then what we need to look at is definitely blood tests. So we look at the, you know, the bloods to see is there any increase in the CRP, which is the inflammatory markers, if there's any rheumatoid factor, if there's any, you know, abnormalities, is there any increase in uric acid first, to see, actually determine what the problem is. Is it a rheumatoid arthritis? Is it juvenile arthritis? Is it, you know, a knee problem? Maybe he's a soccer player or maybe he's an athlete. Then it could be that it was a previous, you know, knee problem. So before we actually do therapy, we must first find out what the problem is. You know, what actually is the root cause of it. I always say find out first what the root cause is. Then instead of just treating, you know, putting, you know, whatever ointment or taking tablets or whatever it is, that you just basically, you know, treating the symptom. But you must know what is it caused by, because at the age of 24, you shouldn't be having any knee pain. You know, it's not something that is common. It's not something that should be happening.
Mm-hmm. So, so what would you be telling her? What must she actually do?
Okay, so
with her son?
Usually, with her son, if she hasn't visited either, you know, a physician or, you know, a physiotherapist, whoever it may be, she first needs to obtain a diagnosis. Why does he have that calcium deposit? From there, usually if you go straight to the physiotherapist, she, you know, would start treatment. Or if you go to the physician usually will tell you, okay, if it's rheumatoid arthritis, he would either put you on some sort of, you know, some sort of medication, and then he would refer you over to the physio, because we, you know, basically the masters, if I can say, in musculoskeletal field. So usually all the diagnosis of the lower back pains, the knee pains, the wrist pains, that usually comes to us. But we must first have a diagnosis. So what I urge her is first see what is the cause of it, what's his problem actually, why is he having the calcium deposits. From there, you know, you'll be able to be rerouted to the actual place where to go to, what to do. But you must first have a diagnosis as to what the problem is.
Okay. So how really is osteoarthritis diagnosed?
Okay, so there's two ways that, you know, it's diagnosed by. The gold standard for diagnosis of the osteoarthritis is by X-rays. But there's also something that we call clinical criteria. So according to, you know, the American College of Rheumatology, the clinical criteria include a few things. There's actually five factors. And if you have three out of those five criteria, then, you know, you can go for an X-ray, or you can suspect, if I can say, osteoarthritis. So those criteria is knee pain for most days, crepitus, which is that sound, that sound that you have on active joint motion or movement of the knee joint, morning stiffness for about 30 minutes or more, or even less in duration. And then age, usually more than 38 years old, because as I say, it's quite age related. And if you have a bony enlargement of the knee, so when it's being examined by the doctor, even if you see your knee looks quite big, it looks like it's enlarged, then those are the five criteria. So if you have three out of those five criteria, then, you know, you can go for an X-ray. And with the X-ray itself, there's different grades. So there's grade 1 to grade 4, obviously increasing in severity. And from that grade 1 to grade 4, that's how we actually decide on the cause of the treatment, what needs to be done for this patient.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, just before we go on to talking about the different treatments, what I wanted to know from you is, you know, I think many a times we are a bit confused as patients sometimes. Who do we go to evaluate and treat knee problems or knee pain for that matter?
Okay, so if you have some sort of knee pain that you're not sure about, that hasn't gone away, that it's present there, and you feel that, you know, you need to get it checked out, you can either go to your doctor, or you can even go straight to your physiotherapist, because we have something that we call a first-line practitioner basis. So we can actually make a diagnosis. We can order for you to go for X-rays. We can make the diagnosis as to what the problem is, because, like I said, many people just think knee pain, you know, it could be anything. The sky is the limit. There's so many conditions out there that it could be. It's not limited only to maybe arthritis. It could be so many things. So from the, you know, once you have the diagnosis, then you can go further as to what needs to be done.
So you can go to a physiotherapist first. I think it's important, because sometimes, you know, we feel we have to go to a doctor first,
yes,
and then we'll be referred to the physiotherapist. But you can actually come to a physiotherapist, and then you can decide when, if it's something that you can deal with, you work with it, mm-hmm. or else you then refer them to them.
On, or, you know, because most of the time the knee pains end up by us. Anyways, so sometimes it's cutting out the middleman.
Okay, fine. So, no, that's important. Okay, now, it was talking about the treatment. Now, what is conservative treatment really?
Okay, so you get two types of treatment. There's the conservative treatment, and then obviously there's the surgical treatment. So conservative treatment is obviously no surgery. So it includes things like, you know, weight loss, because if a patient is obese, then we have a, you know, range of physiotherapy that we do to decrease the knee pain, and then we also use bracing. So depending on the grade of the osteoarthritis, so at least from grade 1 to even grade 3, conservative treatment can give 100% reduction in pain. So that means, inshallah, you know, Allah willing, you can have absolutely no pain at all and no use of medication with conservative treatment. But it depends definitely on the grade, of what the grade is, which we'll only know once we take an X-ray.
Okay. So basically that is what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, where you can treat treatment without medication, really. I think that's so important, you know. We tend to always want to take so much of medication when there is sometimes things that you can do without having to take that medication, where the pain can actually go away.
Yes, exactly. You know, when I tell my patients that from tomorrow stop the medication, the look on their face is priceless. Because they can't actually believe that I'm asking them. They've been taking this medication for however many years, maybe some people 10 years, 12 years, 15 years even, some even more. And they're saying, I should stop my medication. You know, they're actually scared because what's going to happen?
Yes, I can. I know what you're talking about when you talk about medication and pain, because that's what we think, you know. I think we just cannot take pain anymore. And we just run to pop a tablet just to take the pain away. Maybe it's half of it is in our minds, I think. Okay, we have a call online. Let's take our caller first. Assalamu alaikum.
Salam, how are you, Sister Zina?
Alhamdulillah. How can we help you, sister?
See, I'd like to ask Sadia about my auntie. I've got an auntie, 65 years old, right?
Sure.
I don't know, she's very suffering with her pain. She got a pain in the neck and that in her back and all that, right? Now, they tell when she went by physio and everything, nothing is helping her.
Sure.
And she had hip replacement and all that as well.
Okay.
And now, I don't know if I can bring her to Lanesia and try and bring it by you or something. Well, that will help or what, I don't know.
Okay, so with, if she has neck pain, back pain, you said also she has a hip replacement. First line is we need to know, you know, what the problem is. So
they
usually
say she got arthritis, and they say her arthritis is very, very bad. She went to India as well.
Okay.
And they told her your arthritis is very bad. If you're going to fall, you're going to, you know, your bones are also getting brittle, and if you're going to fall, you're going to break your bones.
Okay, gee, that's what I was also thinking. So together with the osteoarthritis, she also has osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
So the osteoporosis is sort of the softening of the bone as we get older, and, you know, due to menopause, due to lack of calcium, vitamin D, there's the bone that gets softened. So that's why they say that, you know, if you fall, you can actually cause a fracture, you can cause a break, which is quite dangerous for us.
Right.
So with her, we have to look at two things, right? We have to look at, the treatment of osteoporosis itself. So you said that her age is 65, right, Auntie? Yeah, so at 65, you know, the osteoporosis shouldn't be at the point where, you know, it can cause a fracture. If it's at the age of, say, 87 or 90, then that's, you know, a possibility. That's
so
why
we can do something about it.
Yes, no, definitely.
Because she's actually in Pitrativ, right?
Okay.
When she goes to her doctors by her GP and he says, no, you cannot do anything because you've got very bad arthritis, so we cannot do nothing to your pain.
Don't worry, Auntie, I've heard that many, many times, that we can't do anything.
I don't know whether I can bring her here or what must I do. You know, I must ask her to come to Lanesia.
Gee.
And maybe we can bring her to you or something.
Inshallah, you know, with the help of Allah gives shifa at the end of the day, right? But Allah has given us so many different ways. If one day the way doesn't work, then that's why someone else gets bring. I always tell my patient that, you know, you coming to my practice, already Allah showing you a way.
So, I want to know, do you do the physio or what do you do?
Gee, I do physiotherapy. I'm doing my master's in musculoskeletal physiotherapy. So, that's actually dealing with these kind of problems.
Okay.
So, it's actually the neck pain, the knee pain, the back pain. That's my specialization.
She's actually getting banned because she's getting so much of pain in her neck. And they say all the things from the bones are finished, so that is why you're getting the pain. You know, you get in your bones that, what you call it, I don't know.
Gee, the calcium in
calcium.
The bone is depleted.
Right, gee.
Okay. I'm sure you can. I'm sure any other physiotherapist would also most probably be able to help. Or, I mean, you can even refer them to
Inshallah,
you can try. Okay, jazakallah khair, sister, for the call. Okay. Well, we spoke about conservative treatment. Now let's talk a little about surgical treatment. When does surgery become necessary, and what is surgical treatment all about?
Okay, so at the higher grade, so say grade 4 to 5, then conservative treatment is not something that's going to give you 100% reduction of pain. You can get maybe between, you know, 40 to 50% reduction, but it's not going to take the pain away. So if the pain is severe, and if you have, you know, an active lifestyle, then the good option to go for is what we call a total knee replacement. So what they do in a total knee replacement is actually the end of the femur bone, the thigh bone, they actually sort of cut it off, and all of the cartilage, the damaged cartilage, they clean it out and they put a prosthesis, so they put a metal implant inside. And at the bottom where the tibia is, they also clean it out and scrape it out, and they put a metal insert there as well. And sometimes also behind, most of the time actually, also behind the kneecap. So it's a completely, if I can say, it's a new knee. It's a complete metal prosthesis that goes around all the ends of your knee joint.
And the pain disappears. Yes, certainly. You know, you actually don't have pain anymore.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like there won't be any other pain after that. But definitely that severe pain that you were experiencing certainly is gone, really, if you need after a knee replacement.
So usually if the grades are severe, then we actually urge our patients that, you know, it's something good to go for. But the only thing with the knee replacement is that it's only good for about, you know, now they say maybe 15 years, but it's only good for about 10 to 15 years.
So, yeah, so does the pain actually come back again?
What happens is they'll, you know, then take another x-ray, and then they check the integrity, if I can say, of the metal implant.
Okay, let's take another caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah.
You're calling us from?
Indonesia.
Okay, how can we help you?
I've got two questions there. But I've got a father that's blind, right? And apparently in helping him at one stage, I hurt my ankle. And then it was very painful, it started swelling. And then I found out that the ligament has been torn, or, you know, So then I was on treatment for that. But apparently now, if I have to try and go into suture, then at that time it won't be so the stuff. But then as the day goes, I see the pain, you know, appears again in that area of the ankle, right? Now that's my one question. My second question is that many a times I feel my right knee feels very like sort of a hard feeling in it, you know, a stiffness in it, or I can feel like it doesn't want to, you know, go into position, like, you know, when you bend it, you find it's hard to bend. So that's my two questions. What do I do, and what is the cause of them?
Okay. Would you listen on air, or? Okay. Or do you have any questions for Sally?
No,
I'm just asking the physiotherapist she's got any questions for.
Okay, only one question, sister. How long ago was this ankle injury?
So say it's about nearly 2 months now.
Oh, okay. No
problem.
Okay. 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 For the question, sister.
Okay, so let's first go to the ankle injury, right? So the sister said she had the ankle injury 2 months ago. So that puts us in, you know, we have sort of a timeline if it's an acute, a subacute, or it's a chronic injury. So that would be between subacute to chronic injury. Usually with a ligament injury, you get two types of ligaments. You get the ligaments on the outside of your ankle and on the inside of your ankle. They very strong and they support that, you know, structure that the ankle properly, so that you can walk properly, so that there's no pain and so that there's no excessive movement. So when there's a ligament injury, if it's not properly managed earlier on, then later on, that's when the pain gets, you know, the pain doesn't go away, basically. So it can be like sort of a nagging pain, or it can be something that, you know, doesn't present immediately, but after a while, you know, if you're doing an offending movement, if you're troubling that ligament, then after a while, it can present. So in most probability, sister, that ligament injury is not resolved. It is still, you know, there, perhaps to a lesser degree than it was, but it's not actually resolving, actually weakening all the surrounding structures in your ankle. So that's what's causing the pain, if I can say. So there is still inflammation in the ligament. There is still, you know, possibly still swelling. I'm not sure. We'll have to actually see it to see then. And there is weakness in the ankle. Unless you sort out that inflammation, that tenderness, and you strengthen that ligament properly, the pain is going to carry on, possibly even get worse. Okay, so that's with regard to the ankle. Then the sister was talking about the knee, right? So she said that she has sort of a stiffness or hard feeling, a problem where the knee can't, you know, straighten or can't bend. I wasn't sure.
Can't bend.
Okay, so that could be two things. Depending on the age also, you know, in order for us to diagnose, we must take everything into consideration. So age, you know, physical, the way the patient looks, if the patient is thin, if the patient is obese, if, you know, the patient's health status, how much they, you know, how much proper nutrition they have, all of these things we take into consideration. So usually it can either be, depending on the age, it can be some sort of beginning of osteoarthritis, or my suspicion is it could be the patella, which is the kneecap, could be sort of, you know, unstable, and it can be, you know, dislocating in some instance. So if the patella dislocates because the thigh muscle is not strong enough to keep it in place, then you can have maybe like a stiffness and your knee can't bend at all. You know, it can't even move sometimes. So, you know, but obviously we have to see it, we have to see x-rays, we have to actually physically test, do a few tests to see what the problem is. Is it that?
Okay. Well, obviously, if you want to know more, then you need to contact the physiotherapist, yes, inshallah, or any other physiotherapist for that matter. Now, we were talking just before, you know, while I'm thinking of this, I just wanted to know, we were talking about knee replacement, but when is an arthroscopy? When is that done?
Okay.
When would they actually do a thing like that?
Okay, so usually arthroscopy, sometimes with x-ray, even sometimes with MRI, the surgeon is not really sure how bad the problem is or what actually is the problem. So what they do is they make a little incision in the knee and they basically, you know, insert a little camera inside and they look around to see what the problem is. If the cartilage is basically damaged, then, you know, they clean it out, they remove some of the cartilage, and they, you know, sometimes they put some sort of fluid before the hand so they can actually see it nicely. So it's not a very invasive process in the fact that they put the you know, the probe inside or that camera inside. But to be honest, a lot of my patients, this is just a clinical assessment, if I can say, it's not really hard and fast in research, a lot of my patients feel that it increases the pain. I've had quite a few patients who say that, you know, this pain was here and I went to the surgeon, I went to the, you know, the ortho, and he said, let's do arthroscopy. And after the arthroscopy, it's actually increased my pain. So now what do I do? Now is it time for a knee replacement? Because I thought it was going to help, and it hasn't. But on the other hand, there is also, you know, good results with it, which some patients find a reduction in pain. But clinically, I've seen that patients don't like it very much.
Okay. All right, we were talking about the surgical treatments. What is the recovery time after a total knee replacement? I think many people would ask all these questions, you know, if they do have to go for a total knee replacement. You know, what is the recovery time?
Okay, so basically,
sometimes I think why they ask is it worth going for?
Yes, to weigh the pros and cons, basically.
Yeah.
So the first 6 weeks, that I can say is the most crucial time after the knee replacement. So if we can give a little timeline, basically, so after the operation, usually, you know, the physiotherapist will come on day one, they'll get you to sit onto a chair, you know, let you do maybe small movements with your knee, but at that point it's quite painful because the anesthetic has worn off, and that's when, you know, you actually start feeling that incision, whatever they made, the actual operation pain, if you can say. Then on day two, that's when we start already to get you to walk with assistance, either a walking frame or crutches or a cane or whatever it may be. That's when you start walking. And then by discharge from your hospital, depending on the medical aid, it can be, you know, either a week or it can even be on day three. Already, you know, it's dependent on us, actually, some of the discharge, because we need you to get to bend the knee by 90 degrees at least before you get discharged. And then, you know, we have little goals like you must be able to dress, to bath on your own. You must be able to walk with a minimal assistance, so maybe with a crutch or, you know, with a cane or something of that sort. You must be able to do all of those things independently on your own. And then we also give you some sort of a home exercise program, because actually after the knee replacement, we always say, it's a little joke that we have, that, you know, the knee replacement, the skill of the surgeon is as good as the skill of the physiotherapist that follows that. So depending on how much you follow your physiotherapy program afterwards, that will depend on actually it's the success of your knee replacement, because all of those muscles have been tampered with. That knee has been completely tampered with, and the body needs to get used to the fact that it has a new muscle prosthesis inside. All of those muscles now are weakened. So in order for you to be able to do things that you weren't doing before, namely climbing stairs, you know, walking, standing for long periods of time, you need to get that complete, you know, the muscle supporting the knee needs to be as strong as possible. So we usually give you, you know, like a strengthening program that most people don't like to follow. Not so good adherence, but if you actually follow it properly, then you know, there's, you know, the possibility of your knee replacement being successful is much higher.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with our program. We have a few minutes left and we'd like to just quickly ask her a few more questions. Thank you. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We don't have much time, but just a very quick question, Sister Sadia, before we end our program today. You know, what is the best way to avoid knee problems, and also, you know, how to manage pain? I know it's two questions, eh?
Okay.
But if you can, very quickly.
All right, so to avoid knee problems, like we say, is you should avoid all the risk factors, so precipitating factors, if I can say, especially things like your general health, things like, you know, your weight, that's super important, the type of shoes you wear, you know, things like that that we actually don't take into consideration in our daily life. But before anything else, the general well-being of yourself is most important, and that will affect what different, types of pain, if I can say that, you have. Okay, and the second question was, you said, how do we manage the knee pain? Okay, so management of knee pain can be, you know, done in so many ways. Usually there is some sort of medication that we have that's not, it's not a pain medication, you know, especially for the knee pain, we prescribe something like something that has the glucosamine that helps with, you know, the knee and joint mobility inside. There's also, you know, our physiotherapy, like we say, you know, we have certain types of therapy that we do to decrease the knee pain, especially in the osteoarthritis, to give conservative treatment. And you can also use things like heat, but not too much, if I can say. Not every day a heat pack.
Okay, so visit your physiotherapist and they'll be able to give you the information you need. But just thank you so much, JazakAllahu Khair, for a wonderful and very informative program. If anybody would like to contact you, I can just give them the number. It's 011-852-7696. 852-7696. And the cell number is 072-577-9488. 072-577-9488. That's at the Flamingo Health Center on Flamingo Street. Yeah, that's it. Well, JazakAllahu Khair. I hope you enjoyed the program. And JazakAllahu Khair, Sister Sadia, for all the information that you shared with us.
Thank you for having me. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Qudus.